Hello, I'm Jill McDevitt, and this is the audiobook for my memoir, Fighting the Crusade Against Sex: Being Sex Positive in a Sex Negative World. Before I start releasing individual chapter recordings, I wanted to share the background and the backstory of writing this book and the process. So, as you begin to hear the tale, it gives you some context and perspective. So, to start, this is a title that I did not choose. The original title, as I was working on it, was America's Crusade Against Sex, a Pro-Pleasure Manifesto. And the reason I wanted that is because I believe that the crusade against sex is American culture's, right? There's an American culture crusade against sexual education, sexual pleasure, and this was my manifesto that is pro-pleasure against this. There's another book that I love and that I actually do quote in my book called America's War on Sex, and it has another subtitle that I don't recall. And the publishers thought that they were too similar, and so retitled it Fighting the Crusade Against Sex. I don't mind the being sex positive in a sex negative world part, but I found the Fighting the Crusade Against Sex title confusing for people. The implication seems to be that I am the person crusading against sex, and yet I'm talking about being sex positive. So it doesn't quite match up there. The back cover reads, "Take an attractive young blonde, a sex shop, a political candidate, an addy Catholic church, and you have the recipe for a riveting controversy that riddled a wealthy Philadelphia suburb and divided a community. Follow the quandaries of Jill McDevitt, a determined recent college graduate with a degree in sexuality and a love of pushing the envelope. After opening a sex shop and education center with a focus on female pleasure at just 21 years old, Jill and her shop Feminique Boutique quickly became the center of a firestorm in conservative Westchester, Pennsylvania. When the pastor of a neighboring Catholic parish, a Republican candidate for state representative, and town officials fight to shut the boutique down, the townspeople revolt in a sexy modern-day version of David and Goliath. Part memoir, part social commentary, Jill reflects on a series of romantic relationships that sparked her interest in becoming a sexologist, while contending with insulting catcalls from parishioners, navigating a legal battle, and managing an unexpected local media craze and the ensuing cause célèbre. Fighting the Crusade Against Sex is a compelling story that exposes our culture's archaic shame of sexuality, the dangerous ability of the self-righteous to control the law, and the power of the American entrepreneurial spirit." So this is something that I actually wrote. I don't know how common it is for authors to write their own back page synopsis, but I did, and I vividly recall writing it. I sat down, I don't know if others write, whether you write blogs or anything else, the editing process, right? And the going back and the fixing and the editing and the fixing. This is exactly what I wrote in a Word document in one piece. I just, off the top of my head, that came out on paper and here it remains. Sometimes it just works out that way, right? Where I had a summary of my life story, the personal relationships, the how it all brought me to that moment when I was getting pushed down, and what this all says, right? How it's a memoir, a personal memoir about one person's experience growing up, navigating becoming a sexual person, finding their career, starting their career, and what that experience says about greater socio-political issues. It just came out. So that's one of those great moments of life where, woo, first try, success. There's two quotes on the back cover. The first is, "Jill McDevitt is on track to become a powerhouse force for positive change in the all things sex. The world and our sex lives will be better for it. Don't be surprised when one day soon it will be Dr. Jill, as well known as Dr. Phil." And this was quoted by Bren Kinsey Draper, who is the granddaughter of famed sex researcher Alfred Kinsey. And that's a fun story about how that came to be, right? So I was in my little store in Westchester, Pennsylvania, working, and I had was writing a blog at the time called A Day in the Life of a Sexologist. And my life is not nearly as interesting now as it was when I was running this store, because just having a public-facing entity and just people of all walks of life walking in off the street, and the conversations I would have and the interactions I would have, I would just write a daily blog about these just fascinating experiences. And one day towards the end of the day, my husband Ryan had come home, and we lived on top of the store. And so he popped in to say hello, and it was nearing the end of the day. It was like 7:38, near closing time. And he says, "How was your day?" And I'm like, "You know what's funny is that nothing happened today. It was like normal, like nothing to blog about happened. It was just normal retail, selling sex toys, answering some sexual health questions. That's it." And as the word bubble was still hanging off of my lips saying this, a woman walks in, walks right up to the counter and says, "Are you Jill McDevitt?" And I said, "Yes." And she says, "I'm Bren Kinsey Draper. I'm Alfred Kinsey's granddaughter." And I'm like, "Of course you are." And she says, "I've been following your work, and I live in Maryland, and I wanted to drive up and meet you." And ever since then, she and I have been in communication, and I asked her if she would read an early copy of the book and write a reaction that I could quote in the back, and she did. So that's where that one came from, which is super cool. And then the other quote is, "Jill McDevitt's narrative is smart, poignant, and entertaining. I was hooked from the first sentence. This is not only a compelling personal story about a young woman's vulnerability and struggles, but an important social commentary on sexual politics and harmful moral righteousness." And that was said by Jennifer Gonzalez, PhD, sociologist, sex educator, and host of In the Den with Dr. Jen. So how Jennifer Gonzalez and I came to be connected, such that she was writing a review on the back of my book, was when I was in, maybe freshman year of college. As you'll hear in the story, I was very passionate and knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to have a business doing sex education for adults. And I had no idea how to start it. My grandmother, who, as you'll also hear in the story, has been very supportive of my mission, saw in the local newspaper a graduation announcement for a woman put on by her parents, and she had a business called Sexuality Outside the Box, and she did workshops and worked with women, and my grandmother clipped it out and was like, "This woman's doing what you want to do. You need to find her." So I Googled, searched her, found her, emailed her, and all through college, back and forth, we emailed. She was kind of my mentor, and then when I opened my store, she popped in and introduced herself, and we've just been collaborating all through the years. And now we both live in San Diego, which is super cool. And we're both originally from suburban Philadelphia. So it's just been a really cool story. She's wonderful, awesome, great educator and person. So that's how that started. On the front cover is the cover art. is a picture of me. It is a full body photograph. I am wearing jeans and I'm striking this very defiant pose. I'm kind of standing with my fingers in my belt loops, with my legs kind of in a very strong stance. And I'm wearing a shirt that says, "Love Your Body." And I'm like, you know, looking like a very cute 22, 23 year old person. Got some belly showing and long blonde hair. And fitting into, you know, certain classically attractive type. I'm working it. Let's just say that I'm working it. And my original vision, because from you heard from the back cover, right, there's multiple forces that make up this crusade against sex. For me, this included a Catholic Church and a Republican person running for state office. And so my vision was to hire a model to be photographed on the front cover. One dressed as a politician, you know, have him in a suit and, you know, a red tie and a little American flag on his lapel. And also somebody dressed up as a Catholic priest, both with their arms crossed in front of them disapprovingly, while I'm striking this very defiant, sexy, trailblazer type pose. I even went so far as to, out of my own pocket, buying the costume for the pastor, the priest, that's the word. And the publisher and editor hired, you know, found a model. All's well. It's 7 a.m. I'm doing hair and makeup. It's photo shoot day for the cover of the book. And the guy, I don't know what the hell kind of model this is. I feel like this is not even remotely close to an industry standard. Said he's no longer going to come be a model. Like, he was going to be paid, right? This is not a volunteer. We were going to pay him for his time. And he's like, I'm not going to do it for the pay that we agreed for my modeling gig. I want a percentage of book sales in perpetuity. And already I'm like, you're insane. This is my life story. I spent 3 years writing this book and you want to model on the cover and take pay and take a cut? I was like, I don't even know what to make of a person who would think of something like that. My favorite part is that he wanted 15%. I don't even think I get 15% off of this book as the writer. So it's just, oh my goodness. So unfortunately, all you see is just the me looking sexy, which I don't mind looking sexy, but it is not exactly what I was trying to capture. So that is the explanation about why this book is titled that and why I'm standing rather sexually provocatively on the cover. Last thing I want to say here is just kind of sharing what it's like to, I guess the perils, if you will, of writing a memoir at the age of 22, 23. I think there's a reason that most people write their memoirs late in life, and there's certainly value to that. One is that when you do a tell-all, as I did, as you'll find out, oh, I tell all. It is a warts and all book, right? Including myself. People I've written about it asked me, you know, don't say anything unflattering. And I said, you know, I say things that are true. When you were great, I wrote about it. And when it wasn't so great, I wrote about it. And my own shit, right? You'll hear all of my warts and my not so healthy and good stuff. Because it's a very authentic and honest book. It's a memoir. And when you write this at 85, you know, like, what are people going to do? But when you write this at 22 and 23, and you have to see these people, my mother and my friends and people in the community, that there's going to be collateral damage, right? People can get pissed about what you write. And that did happen. And there was some tensions that needed to be smoothed. So that was something to deal with. Also, when you're in your 80s or however old most people are when they publish their memoirs, you're looking in retrospect of all your collective growth, right? And when you're 22 and 23, and then you live right now, I'm 33, and I see how much I've grown and developed in those 10 years that are not recognized, obviously, in the book, because this was a developmental stage, right? And so I've grown and developed since then. And so sometimes it doesn't age well. Some things in the book I say, or I have a perspective on something that I've since grown, since evolved, since updated my opinion, maybe wouldn't have used that tone or used that word. And so sometimes when I go back and read this book, as I will occasionally do, I'm like, oh, I cringe a little bit. So there has to be some self-compassion built into, you know, writing a memoir at this age. And, you know, it's like, imagine when you were 12 in your diary and you thought, you know, this is who I am. And then you published it. And you're like, but I'm 12, right? Oh, what do I know? So some of this I do cringe a little bit, but it is what it is. I'm still ultimately really proud of the story. I think the writing is at my best, right? I was in grad school. I was doing a lot of writing. And so I think the writing style is good. It was something that I need to get off my chest, right? It's something that happened to me, and though I needed the world to hear about it, even if I only sold 10 copies, I didn't care. I needed it out, and it's out, and I feel really good that it's here to share in many different formats, including now on an audiobook for subscribers. So that is the story, and I look forward to beginning to share it with you, starting with chapter 1.